Hey, good morning and welcome to West. My name is Andrea Smith, and I have the privilege of being the pastor of this church, this faith community. If you are newer to the West community, if you're joining in online this morning, or if you're listening to it or watching it throughout the week, or if you're checking us out on our podcast, we are so grateful that you are here. If you're newer to the community, we would love to send you a free gift. Text the word welcome to the number that either you see on the screen, or text the word welcome to 704-343-8955. And we would love to know that you are a part of the worshiping community. We are at the end of a message series that we've been doing called Bend, Don't Break. We as a church just celebrated our 10th year in existence. And what an exciting time to be able to celebrate that birthday in the middle of a pandemic. Tuesday night of this week, some West folks, we gathered at the Beer Lab Ghost Face. Mike and Susie Cuddy are a part of the West community, and they so generously donated their space for us to gather together in smaller groups of 25. And at the end of the evening, we had prayer individually at our tables. And the question was, how have you seen God at work in your life throughout the past 8 months? And we are during the pandemic, and nobody had to answer, but the opportunity was there for folks to share with one another. And so I was standing back at the table, and they said, well, what about you? How have you seen God at work in your life? And I just, there were so many things rolling through my head, but the one thing that stuck out was that I'm just so grateful that the church is still in existence. 7-8 months ago, we all had questions like, what's going to happen to this church when we can't gather together? I mean, church is built on community, right? And West had a strong online presence, but I mean, who knew how that would be sustainable? And so here we are in October, and you are still a part, and there's so many of you that are new. And so what we're going to do today is we are going to do this thing called the State of the Church. It's sort of like a State of the Union, but for our, you know, when the president comes out and talks about how things have been and where things are going to go, that's what today is about. So if you're newer to West, I really hope you find this interesting. If you've been a part of West for a while, I really hope that you can see the ways that your being a contributor to the community has made a difference in the world. And so I'm grateful that you've tuned in today, and I hope you leave this experience together feeling blessed and rejuvenated and excited about what the future holds for us as a church and faith community. So I have a little bit of a confession to make. As much as my heart is for us as a church to give ourselves away to the community and to the world, and I really am passionate about our partnerships with the Back to School Bash and Inspire Our Children and the Pig Out Food Truck and Ding Dong Ditch, our Christmas mission and the Backpack Mission, where we feed local students with St. Therese throughout the school year with food in their backpacks. And then we have a partnership in Nebbi, Uganda, and we're getting ready to build a new partnership in Uganda with a church that's been worshiping with us online throughout COVID. As much as I'm passionate about those things, and I love for us as a church to give ourselves away, and I try to be sacrificial with my own personal resources and my time and my finances, there are some vices that I have that I just can't quite seem to break, like getting my nails done. That's one thing, although COVID did a little work on that back at the beginning. But there's another thing. So I carry stress, and I tend to get stressed out a good bit. So I carry my stress in my back, and it just aches like 90% of the time. So periodically, I will go to Massage Envy. And with COVID, I haven't been in a really long time. So I went the other day and I had a massage therapist that was really interesting. And I want to come up with a new profession. Like, you know, they all say, so what do you do? And then I say, well, I'm a pastor. And I always think that's a great opportunity to share Christ, but maybe not when you're getting a massage. So the whole question started, so what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. And the response was, no way. I'm like, well, yeah, actually I am. And he said, you know, well, I am sort of too. He said, I'm a different kind of pastor. I'm a messianic rabbi for the Church of God. And so I knew what a messianic rabbi was, but I didn't know what one was when you put Church of God at the end. So I started thinking, okay, I wonder what he believes. I wonder where our theologies align. And I didn't ask any questions because honestly, I really just wanted a massage and I didn't want to have to get into this deep faith conversation. But I also know that God opens doors and allows opportunities to happen and we should claim those opportunities. So then he asked some questions about where I went to school, and I asked the return, and then somehow in the conversation, he started talking about the book of Revelation, which usually that's a little bit of a hot button. And, you know, we just finished a small group not too long ago about what the book of Revelation means. And he's like, now you know what that means, right? You know who that was written for. And I said, well, I know what I've studied and been taught. And he's like, well, what does it mean? And I thought, oh no, here we go. And if you ever want to, you know, like get in a deep conversation with someone, say you believe in a realized eschatology, that'll trip them up. You don't even need to know what it means. Just say it and the conversation will go everywhere. But he's like, so who do you think it was written for and what do you think it means? And I said, well, I think it was written for a group of people that had just undergone extreme persecution in their time. And the book was written with much symbolism that they would have understood and clung to, and it was written to give them hope. And he's like, well, I could see that you think that, but really what it means. And so then he launches into this whole explanation about how it's very literal and, you know, you have to believe this and then this. And the conversation just, it really went this way. And what we believe as United Methodist goes this way. And in the moment, I thought, there's no point, right, in arguing this because I'm not going to change his mind. He's not going to change mine. So I finally just said, you know, probably you and I are just never going to agree on a few things about faith. And he laughed. He said, I guess not. And we had just some really general but positive conversation for the rest of the time that I was there. And it made me think about West. So today in this State of the Church, I just want to share with you on behalf of all the staff and the Pastors Advisory Council, the PAC team, we're grateful that you choose to be a part of this faith community and this church. We do see things broadly. We respect the fact that God is a great big God, and you and I and humanity, we come to an understanding of God and divine love from lots of different pathways. We believe God reveals God's self to us through the person of Jesus, the Christ, the title for Jesus. That was not Jesus's last name. And we believe that if we want to experience the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven here and now and yet to come, that we will emulate and imitate and become like Jesus in our everyday lives. And that's the whole point of being a part of this church, is to learn how we can live so that we experience that heaven in our lives here and now, and then when we go from this life to life eternal, that we experience it then too. And West allows such a broad path, so that people can come and wrestle with big questions and not be made to feel lesser than or like they're not smart enough or like their theology is not right. And we wrestle with things together and we journey together. And so in that moment with this gentleman, I just was so grateful for you. And so this morning in this state of the church, please hear it with a spirit of gratitude. I want to share with you just a few exciting things and that have happened over the past year, most specifically, you know, this year within the pandemic. And we want to cast a little bit of vision for the future, recognizing that we still find ourselves very uncertain about what is yet to come, but we know that we are called to do it together and to learn more and grow more and be more like Christ in all that we do. So I want to share with you just a verse from Revelation. It's Revelation 21:5, and this is a part of the story that was given, a glimpse of the picture that was given of hope to the people that were being persecuted. "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' And then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Over the past year, we do measure statistics. They're not my favorite thing, but we do actually track them. And so over the past year, despite being in a pandemic, one of the things that we want to celebrate is that our worship attendance has actually grown. And it's been consistent, even though I know lots of folks are technologically fatigued and tired of Zoom, we still seem to be reaching the community. And so we're grateful for that. In 2019, we had a worship attendance for the year to date that was 248. And in 2020, right now, we have a worship attendance that is we average 317. That's 69 more people that we are reaching as a faith community. Part of that is knowing what it is that you want to hear, what you're wrestling with. So we changed things this past year. Like we had message series that had been planned, and then we ended up talking about things like relationships and how to maintain healthy relationships in such trying times. And we talked about the Happiness Project. We did a message series on that. We did a message series on the voices inside our heads and all the emotions and the feelings that we wrestle with. And those are because you said that's what you needed to hear. So that's actually one goal of ours in the new year. We want to continue offering what it is that you are looking for. What's going to make a difference in your life? What's going to help you feel more at one with God and with love? And how can we as a church equip you and give you what you need so that you can live your life to its fullest? We love to hear from you. Any of the staff do. Tell us what message series you want to hear, what topics you want us to wrestle with. So we are so grateful for you that you have been worshiping with us this year. And I just want to take a moment to give a huge shout out to the staff. So every week you see me, you hear me. We have other pastors that are affiliated with our church, Amy Coles, Amy Burton. We have a multi-site pastor, Angela Burris, and we and David Snipes, and a new pastor that's affiliated with us from the conference, Dan Pizzette. He chooses West as his faith community. We also have Diana Hoover and Christy Dillon, who are ordained, and Scott Cooper, who is ordained, that are all a part of this community. And so they work together behind the scenes, but we also have just a tremendous paid staff team. And when COVID happened, honestly, like when the world hunkered down and many of us worked, you know, only from home and we're not seeing folks, the West staff, their jobs multiplied exponentially. And I did a little check-in with them 4 to 6 weeks in. I'm like, tell me how many hours you're working. I knew they were all overworking. And truly, some of them, their jobs more than doubled. And so for just a few minutes, I want you to meet the staff. I want you to see and hear from the people behind the scenes that you don't hear from maybe as much as me. And please, if you have a few moments, I would love it if you would just tell them thank you. Their email addresses are their first name and then headingwest.org, like Pam at headingwest.org or Brad at headingwest.org. Tell them thank you. It means a lot to them to hear from you. And I think sometimes we underestimate the power of our words. And I just can't give enough accolades and gratitude to them. Tuesday night when we were gathered together at the Beer Lab, we played bar trivia, because we thought it'd be boring if we all just sat around, and nobody wants to hear me preach twice in 1 week, I promise. And so we were playing this bar trivia, and, you know, there are lots of things that I plan, and bar trivia is not one of them. So I knew that I had a link that Lindsay had so graciously found for me, and I'd looked up a few questions, but of course I didn't write anything down. And so I'm standing there, I'm asking the questions. Josh had made an answer sheet, and so we asked all the questions, and then it was time to check them and see if they were right or wrong, and so we had done that, and everybody was supposed to add up their total, and we were going to give away a prize. And I looked at Josh and Lindsay and then asked the question. I said, so how many of you got 19 of 20 right? Because we knew that there was one question that nobody got. And Josh and Lindsay just sort of looked at me, and they looked sort of puzzled. And then I'm like, oh, wait, you know what? I bet we didn't ask 20 questions, because Josh and I talked about 15. Maybe we just asked 15 questions. And so I asked everybody, I'm like, oh, how many of you got 14 out of 15 right? Like, there weren't 20 questions, were there? And Josh and Lindsay just laughed and shook their heads. And then they whispered under their breath, so only I could hear, that's why you have us. And I'm like, exactly. Those details, they're just not my thing. And we joke about it, honestly, but West would not be West without this amazing staff team. I've been in ministry 23 years. And I've served in several churches, and I've been on staff for 7 years at a church with over 1,000-plus people, and I've been on lots of different staff teams over those years, and there is none that is as excellent and amazing as the team you have right now, and it's your team and God's team, and so I just want you to hear from them for a few minutes.
Hi folks, I'm Angela Burris, and I am the multi-site pastor here at West. Back in March, I received a call. You remember those pre-COVID days before the world was so drastically changed? And this call came from Dan Bizet with the Western North Carolina Conference, and he told me about this church called West. Now, I admit that I was more than a little intrigued by a church that had their own food truck and could claim to be the craziest church ever. After Andre and I met, the possibility of serving such a church seemed like an answer to a dream, albeit a crazy one. Now that I am here at West, the craziest church and quite possibly the craziest time in our histories, it is daunting and it is exciting and it is filled with hope for the future. Because you see, nobody's here saying we've never done it like that before, or we can't do that, or that can't be done. In fact, my experience with the staff here is that no matter what kind of idea is thrown out, no matter how crazy or outlandish, no matter how lavish or intense, if it has the possibility of bringing people closer to God, well, then it's a possibility. And you see, that's really exciting to me because I enjoy using my gifts of creativity in my own spiritual walk to spark conversations with other people about God, or to help folks experience God in new and different ways. So being in a place like West, where I can share these gifts, these things that are so close to my heart, well, that's a gift. I think we would all agree that doing church right now in our current environment is tough. And yet my calling is grounded in such a challenge as this. I'm looking forward to meeting more of you in the future and exploring how we together might plant and grow something new and creative here in the Mooresville area so others might come to know Jesus. I am so grateful for the opportunity to serve here at the craziest church ever.
Hi, I'm Dawn Lynch, and I'm the Connections and Communications Catalyst at West Church. I work with the spiritual leaders of West to create spiritual growth opportunities. I create graphics for online and the weekly e-news and connect with people through social media and help to brainstorm new ways to reach folks outside of West. I lead our Fresh Expressions and the Women's Small Group. Working at West helps me live out my call by helping people to grow spiritually deeper and use their gifts and talents to serve God and love others. It has been a struggle for me during COVID, not being able to meet safely face-to-face with all of the newcomers to West and greeting each of you and doing life as normal. But I'm inspired by you, the vision you've helped cast, the prayers you've offered, the generosity you've shown, and your participation in answering all of the questions to help us evaluate how to engage others to see how we can move forward offering Christ in the community and beyond. Your answers have inspired new vision, like the launch of the Ripple Effect Kayak Group. It is also an honor to work alongside the amazing and talented West staff and to see each of them embrace new ways to do their jobs, to pivot so quickly, and do things that are outside of their job descriptions. Having the privilege to be led by one of the most courageous, caring, and determined visionary leaders I've ever met is a dream come true. Not only is Andrea's love of all people inspiring, but it's contagious, and it shows through how well you care for each other, our community, and beyond. Because you are a church that bends and doesn't break, we've been able to offer new ways for folks to connect amidst a pandemic. Every time we launch something new, I think, is this really my job? It has been so much fun and is a true honor and privilege to get to do life with you. Thank you for dreaming big. Thank you for never ceasing to care about the community and the people of West. I am so grateful that God called me to West Church.
Hi, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Lindsay Snipes, and I'm the Student Ministries Catalyst here at West Church. That means I work with infant to college age students. More specifically, I work with our amazing volunteers to help produce and write the content for AMPED, which is our online worship experience for preschool through elementary age students. I also work with volunteers to write curriculum and plan events for our youth, which are our middle and high schoolers. Dawn and I work together along with our college care packing team to send care packages to all of our college students throughout the school year. That's just a quick overview of what I do. I'm fulfilling my call at West by helping the future generations connect with God and church in relevant and fun ways. It is my goal to be a good role model for all the children and youth of West and our community. Since I started at West about a year and a half ago, I've also gotten the privilege of connecting with people outside of the students and their parents. Working with the staff, being a part of the women's small group, and helping with seasonal and missional events have been awesome opportunities for me to meet everyone while also growing in my faith.
My name is Joshua Pettit, and I am the Worship Production Catalyst here at West. I oversee all the aspects of worship and video production, which include things like video, sound, and lighting. Things like the production of the worship team music videos, as well as other content and promotional videos that you see not only during worship, but on our website and social media. During the pandemic, myself and the entire worship production team needed to pivot pretty quickly and go from our primary focus being an in-person worship experience to a fully online worship experience. Thankfully, we had a pretty strong online worship presence to work from, and each week I feel like we've been able to improve the experience, and by doing so, we were able to ensure that weekly worship never stopped. The worship production team has had to work to upgrade and relocate all of this nice equipment that you see here to the West office, which is really just a warehouse. One of the other really cool things that I get to do at West is I serve as the co-director of the Back to School Bash every year, and that allows me to work with, lead, and mentor some very talented young adults. This year, Bash had to pivot into a drive-through event, and we were able to serve 1,200 students in a safe way. This has helped me grow in my faith by participating in the Not So Small Small Group, as well as the Golf Fresh Expressions Group. My calling at West is using my gifts and talents to help communicate the message of West, as well as to help people encounter the love of Jesus.
Hi, my name is Brad Rano, and I am on staff here at West as basically the director of operations. I'm kind of AKA Mr. Logistics, get things done, whatever's needed. I'm there to make sure it happens. Wanted to share with you how I'm living out my calling as being on staff at West. I want people to be able to see in me that God can truly heal all. Gone through a couple of pretty devastating events in my life, and when the events happened, I basically just immersed myself in God. I was all in, according to like what Andre preaches. Just gave it all to him, trusted in him, because I had no answers. And I knew that if I didn't have the answers, he would. Was hoping he would, and he did. He truly healed me from the inside out, and I just want to be able to be that beacon for people to be able to look at and see that God truly can heal no matter what the storm you've gone through. Just put your trust in him, and he does truly heal all. So hopefully that I do that for the people of West, because I love being here. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Gary Heck, and I am privileged to serve as the Worship Arts Catalyst for West. I believe that music is a great way to reach people and help them develop a closer relationship with God. I work with a great team of musicians and production that make that happen and bring it to fruition for West, and we appreciate your encouragement and support. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Pam Rossell. I'm using my gifts and talents as financial administrator for West. As part of my job with Accounts Payable is to pay the bills and to record the weekly giving. In this time of not being able to meet in person, it has helped to grow my faith or to keep my faith alive through Zoom meetings with my small group and crafted conversations.
Hi, my name is Amy Burton, and I'm one of the financial administrators at West. I'm also one of the clergy who are affiliated with the West Faith Community, and I'm really glad to be at West. I have over 20 years of ministry experience, which is about how long I've known Andrea. I now serve at Wesley Community Development Corporation, which is an affiliate ministry of the Western North Carolina Conference of the United Methodist Church. I've always felt called to connect the church with the community around it. And with Wesley, that's exactly what we do when we assist churches and the conference and other organizations with how they can best use their real estate, their property assets, to serve their communities.
Hello, West. This is Christy Dillon, your pastoral care catalyst. I wanted to share a little bit about my calling. I went to seminary many years ago, and I've always felt like I should be in a position to where I could help people in their time of need. And so I've been a teacher for the last few years, many years actually, and I've been a part of West since the beginning. So when the opportunity came for me to be your pastoral care catalyst, I was excited because that's the kind of position I kind of been hoping that I would end up with or have at some point later in life, and it just happened at the right time. So I'm very glad that I am here, and I'm glad to be a part of West and a part of your staff, and I hope to see you in the near future.
Aren't they just an amazing group of people? One of the things that we celebrated this year, and not nearly as well as I wanted us to, is that in our history, in our 10 years of history, we had our first staff member retire, Faye Carrasca. And she was our pastoral care catalyst for many, many years. And Faye is truly just a gift from God. When Faye Carrasca prays for you, I am convinced that things happen. And she's so full of wisdom and grace. And truly, she has just been such a gift to us here as a faith community. And just because she retired to go spend time with her great-grandchildren, she's still praying for West every day. And I hope you have the privilege of getting to know her in person someday. Christy Dillon, who works for the ISS school system but is also an ordained minister, has, you know, been in the church for years, and then she became a teacher to fulfill her calling. But now she has followed Faye, and she is our pastoral care catalyst. Maybe you've seen her in some of our talk back episodes that air on Wednesdays after the message. But Christy is just a beautiful addition to the staff, and also brings wisdom and just deep prayer and deep spiritual intentionality. But we wanted to celebrate today that Faye has moved into retirement, but was such a gift to us as a church. And so we are so grateful for her. Also, you saw the staff, but one thing that we need to celebrate especially is the worship production team. So, you know, we used to be at the high school, we'd get there about 7:30 and roll all the gray carts in, and then, you know, Brad and Josh would get there at, like, I'm sure 5:30 or 6 a.m. on the Sundays that we would be at the high school. And then when we went to online only and had to move all of our stuff out of the high school, they did a pivot. The whole staff team did a pivot when COVID happened, but our worship production team, like, they are second to none. In fact, this year, our annual conference has over 1,000 different Methodist churches from, like, the most western part of the state, like Andrews and Murphy, and we span all the way to Asheboro. And annual conference is this yearly preacher and representatives from every church meeting where we talk about the organization of the United Methodist Church. And this year, because it needed to be online only because of COVID, they chose West. Now, I just think that's really ironic that the annual conference chose to broadly stream annual conference from a church that's homeless and, you know, produces out of the back of a warehouse. And that is because of our worship production team and volunteers. There are so many that give countless hours of their time for free, like editing the music and making sure that it is tweaked so that you can have a powerful worship experience. So I just wanted you to take a look at who the worship production team is, what it looks like, and I wanted us to celebrate that today. Also, one of the things that has been a huge pivot is our worship team. You see here in this picture some examples of their recording. And what I think we take for granted during this time is, you know, they don't just walk in here, put their instruments on, you know, hook up some microphones, sing the song, and then leave. And so many of our worship team folks are purely volunteers and give their time for free. But sometimes when they come and they record for Sundays, they will be here 4 hours. They will sing the song. And if there's a place where there's a mistake, I mean, you can't, like, stop the song and go back and edit. They have to do the whole song over. I think they're so tired of singing some of these songs, they never want to sing them again. But again, this is just one of those, it's just it seems like a thankless role, what they do. Gary and Luann and the whole worship team, they work so diligently so that you can experience God through music. And so we want to celebrate them today. Also, we have worked really hard to make sure that you have opportunity to stay connected. We have offered new online small groups throughout COVID, and we were shocked when we started the first one, Difficult Questions That We Hear and See in Scripture, and Difficult Questions That We Have in Our Faith. We had 46 people sign up to do that study, and it was interesting. They weren't all from West. They were from all over, and we learned a lot from each other as we walked through our scripture and asked those difficult questions together. So a huge shout out to the staff that made that happen and were again so willing to quickly pivot. We know that community is important. And so another thing that happened throughout COVID was that we started a kayak group. And Dawn and some volunteers, Laura and Lance, just worked together to make that happen. And the really interesting thing is the majority of the kayak group were from the community. Only three people out of like 12 had an affiliation with West. One of the things that we try to be intentional about is sharing ourselves with the community and sharing Christ with the community. And so that absolutely happened with the kayak group. One of the things that we commit to you moving forward is that we want to continue to offer new ways for you to connect and build community. That's like what happened at Ghostface this week. It wasn't, you know, hundreds of people in a room, but we did have the opportunity to just have some conversation in a non-threatening way, a faith-based conversation, and some fun, and offer ways for you to be in community. So please just know that that is really important to us as we move forward. Another thing, another way that we had to pivot this year was in what we offered to our children and our youth. Lindsay and her teams did lots of different polling and asking questions to see what families needed. And what we've learned is that one of our core values as a church is infinitely changing. And we've learned that our children and youth ministry has to be such as well. You know, we started out with Amped, and they took what we were offering on Sunday morning in person and in 1 week created a digital and online worship experience for children that was fun and engaging. And it started out gangbusters, and Lindsay and her team, they would send out like packages before Amped would air that would have supplies in it for the kids to do the craft or the game. And then, but what we heard from families is that kids were just, once school started back, that phrase that I've used before, technologically fatigued and tired of the just sitting in front of the computer. So we are pivoting again, and we're actually taking Amped to a whole new level. We are going to have some child actors, thanks to Scott Cooper and Josh Meeks and their production company, and we're going to continue to utilize West volunteers, and we are going to make this Amped offering a true production, and we are going to put as much intentionality around that as we do adult worship and start offering in-person opportunities. So next Sunday, Lindsay is going to gather together with children and their families in parks and outdoor settings, and we are going to continue to reach the community with that. So we are so grateful for all of you with children and youth that have been a part. And one of the exciting things is we have youth volunteers, not just do adults work to make West happen, but so much of Amped was from our youth and our young adults. So we are so grateful for you. You've heard me say before that West exists to give ourselves away. And when COVID happened, we were about a month out from the Bash Color Dash that we've always sponsored. Like West Church sponsors the Color Dash for the community. It typically raises $6,000 to $7,000 for the Back to School Bash. And what the Bash is an opportunity for students to come together in a fun festival-like atmosphere and receive free school supplies, a free backpack, a fun meal like hot dogs or pizza or something like that, and then get a brand new pair of tennis shoes that are fitted to their feet, and then they receive what they need, or a good part of what they need, to start school feeling equipped and ready. And West is hugely instrumental in that mission. And when COVID happened, and first we couldn't have the Color Dash, so we're like, oh my gosh, how in the world are we ever going to have enough money to work with Inspire our children to put on the Bash? Because the Back to School Bash usually costs between $40,000 and $50,000 to execute and to host the event. Not only were we worried about money, but in a time when we can't, you know, be physically close to each other, how are we going to have an event that's going to have over 5,000 people in attendance? Typically, when something seems really big, my first go-to is to whine about it with God. I'm a little like Moses from the Hebrew scriptures in that sense. I whine and I'm like, we can't do this. This is too big. This is too hard. And then God does God's thing and works in my heart and speaks to other people to get them to speak to me. And so I had a friend that just kept pushing. He's like, now's not the time that you get to say, we can't do that. So why don't you just hunker down and figure out a way to have a back-to-school bash? And so we did. And it was directed by three of our young adults, Cole and Hayden and Kendall, and Josh Pettit. Our own Josh was the director of the event with our young adults. And we served over 1,200 students in the middle of a pandemic, and it was a drive-through experience. There were 805 cars that came, and honestly, I get goosebumps just talking about it. I mean, we had planned like four nights, and all these details had been worked out, and honestly, our process was so efficient, we had to cancel one of the nights because volunteers were just standing around, and we wanted to be true to their time and their offering of their gifts and their service. It was an amazing God-filled night. And thank you. Thank you for financially supporting West, because it is through your tithes and your offerings that we are able to support things like the Back to School Bash. Thank you for volunteering. Thank you for donating tennis shoes. You made the bash happen this year, and we are so grateful to you. The other thing that you did, that you made happen in the middle of a pandemic, is that we helped found a food truck as a church with two of our sister churches. You're going to hear from one of the pastors of one of those churches in just a second, Will Green. But in the middle of the pandemic, the churches, Faith and St. Paul, their average age is a little higher than the average age of West. And so when the pandemic happened, most of their members were in the at-risk category, and so they had to not be a part of the food truck. So what happened was Faith and St. Paul had to stop supporting it with their time on Sundays and throughout the week, and West stepped up. So I want you to know that throughout the pandemic, we served an average of 172 meals a week. And in 16 Sundays, we served a total of 2,755 meals. The food truck never missed a beat. Triplet United Methodist came on board and said, hey, come use our commercial kitchen, which has always been like one of our dreams. And Mike Cuddy from Ghostface said, hey, let me be your business partner and let me use the food truck throughout the week at the beer lab. And then I'm going to give you 15% of all proceeds. So now, because of those things and Mooresville Christian Mission and the soup kitchen letting us have some of their resources, the food truck is almost self-sustaining, which has been one of the goals from the very beginning. And our goal for moving forward, Reverend Angela Burris, who is a part of the staff team, she's our multi-site pastor, one of her primary responsibilities is working with the Common Ground nonprofit and Pig Out Food Truck. And their goal, our goal, is to offer Christ so that it may be transformational and not just transactional, like just come get a plate of food. We want to offer Christ with that. One of the powerful stories about that is that there was a repeat guest, and she had shared with some of the volunteers that she was maybe going to be diagnosed with cancer, and Angela was able to pray with her before she got the diagnosis the next week. She ended up not having cancer, but it was a powerful opportunity to share Christ during that time. So thank you for supporting the food truck throughout the pandemic. Let me say that I know that I'm talking really fast today because there's so much that I just want to say to you, and I know your attention span is only so long, and we only do this once a year, and I don't preach this fast normally, but there's just a few more things that I want to share with you. First of all, you made a difference in the lives of our teenagers and young adults that just graduated college. I mean, this was a really crappy year to be a senior. They missed out on so many of their final opportunities. Being the parent of a college senior, like when she came home for spring break, she never got to go back and be with her friends and her classmates, never got to say goodbye. And that was really life-altering for her and for all of our seniors. And so you and Lindsay, you guys made this drive-by parade happen. And the night that Lane and I stood in our front yard and watched all these cars go by and honk their horns, I mean, it made her feel special. You made young adults feel special in the name of Christ. And that's one of the most challenging things that is in front of us today, is how to show young people the love of Christ in a way that's relevant for them. And so with the whole senior drive-by thing and because of your tithes and offerings again, you made that happen and gifts happen for them. So thank you. And thanks to Lindsay for all that she did to make that happen. When the pandemic started, we were hearing that so many of our folks at West were out of work and out of employment. And so we started, at the suggestion of your PAC team, the Pastors Advisory Council, a COVID relief fund. Do you know, in 2 weeks, you gave over $13,000 in 2 weeks to help people with COVID. Many of those, some are a part of West, some were newer to West, and some were just friends of West in the community who are now worshiping with West. We have given away all but about $4,000 of that. We're saving a little for Christmas because we know that the need during that time will be great. But you have impacted so many families with that money, and we are so grateful to you. One of the things that I don't talk about a lot, because it's not my favorite thing, is money. But money is important. We are a church, we're a faith community, but we also are a business. And we do operate like one. We have a budget, we try to stick to the budget. And imagine going from normal church to a pandemic. We had to upgrade so much of our equipment. The office needed some revamping. And so it has just, again, been a continual pivot. We are so grateful for Amy Burton and Pam Rozell and what they do with our finances. And I am happy to share with you that even in the middle of a pandemic, our overall giving, not just our operational giving, but our missional giving, like the COVID relief fund and the money that you give for the bash and the food truck, from last year to this year, our giving has actually total, including COVID, increased by about $8,000. And lots of West folks give only by check and put the check in the basket at the back of the auditorium, and that's not been a thing since March. And so the fact that our finances are not tanking and are where they were last year, even a little bit more, is amazing. I do want to make the ask that you will financially commit to West in the year, the remainder of 2020 and the year 2021. We have some exciting things, like we are going to up our game with AMPED, and we're going to continue to find new ways to offer community. And so I do invite you to use the resources that God has so graciously given you and invest in West, invest in us so that we can make a difference together. We do have another exciting thing that you've seen Angela a couple of times preaching. She is our multi-site pastor. Her salary and expenses are paid through the conference, through the Western North Carolina Conference. So for 3 years, we have this amazing gift of Angela using her gifts to serve amongst our community, and we're not having to fund that, which is a great thing because we couldn't right now at the size that we're at. But she is going to launch Art Church in the new year in 2021, and offer that in various places in our community. And she is praying about, and we are praying about what a multi-site with her as our pastor will look like. So I invite you to be in prayer for that as well. One of the things that we always do in our state of the church is share where we feel like we've missed the mark. You heard me talk about the plantation, and I really just feel like we acted harshly and quickly on that, and should have thought through that a little more intentionally. So with us right now, we have just an amazing gentleman. He is Pastor Will Green. He is the pastor at Faith United Methodist. I've had the privilege of knowing Will, I guess, for over a year. And just last week, we were talking together and brainstorming and visioning just how church can be in this new age, and what are some things we need to do different, and just learning from each other. And so I was talking to Will about some of the things we've been living through this past year, and talking about being homeless, and because we are still just a little bit, we're talking to the high school about getting back together, but we don't have any information on that yet. And so in doing that, I told Will about one of the biggest mistakes that I feel like I'm just going to own that one all by myself. I'm not going to say the we for the staff. This one was pretty much on me. And one of the mistakes that I feel like I made this past year, we were trying to decide if and when we would gather us together in person. And we were looking at options like parking lot worship or other things that other churches were doing. And our online presence has been so strong, we can't like just go film in a parking lot because all this stuff doesn't travel. Right. And we were like, well, that won't work. And so, but we did a poll to see how many of the West people wanted to gather together in person, and it was significant. So we're like, okay, we've got to do something. So we started calling around to various places and seeing who had space for lease. And it was just that initial conversation. And that's one thing that I don't think we've shared with you. Like, we never got to, you know, the second layer of questions. And the Langtree option would have never worked out because they didn't have a space for us to have kids, and the kids would have had to be outside, and there were lots of hurdles with that, but I don't want to use that as an excuse. So, like, we sent out this video to the church. We're like, guess what? We have an option to be together. We were so excited, and I said, we're going to worship at Langtree Plantation, or most likely going to worship at Langtree Plantation, and would you be willing to worship with us there? And so we sent out the email, people started responding, and then I have some clergy friends that watch our messages from, you know, across the United States. And one of my friends is a district superintendent up in the Washington, D.C. area, and she served Georgetown United Methodist, which is the oldest Protestant African-American Wow. church in the nation. And I love Jauncey. We were in doctorate school together, and she's one of those people, she can keep me honest in a heartbeat. And I remember when we were making the video, when I said Langtree Plantation, I thought, plantation. I need to look into that a little more. But I was so excited for us to get back together, I just sort of pushed that thought, because we were in the middle of, as a nation and world, being way more intentional about not our white privilege, which we have. I mean, we have so much white privilege, and we like to ignore it and push it back. And so finally, right, like, there's continued conversation about it instead of just having a tragic event happen. Okay, let's all be aware. We're going to pray about it, talk about it, and then push it aside. Like, for the first time in ever, you know, we're doing something about it. And that word plantation just rang in my brain. And so then the next morning, I got in my car, and I had a text from my friend Jauncey, and all it said was, what's the name of the place you're going to worship at? And I started typing, and I got to the PL of Plantation, and I thought, I can't do that. I've made a big, big mistake. Not that there is anything wrong with Langtree Plantation. And I talked with their director, and she assured me that there's never been a slave on that property. But the word plantation has a connotation for a lot of different things. And so last week when Will and I were meeting, I said, yeah, I made a pretty big error this time. And as I was talking and telling Will what happened, he's like, I really appreciate that you all thought of that. So I just wanted you to hear from Will today, because I know that that decision was not one of your favorite decisions that I made this year as a church, but there were real reasons behind not doing that. And so I wanted you to hear from Will about that. So Will, when I was telling you that story last week, what did it make you think, or how did you feel?
Well, first off, I just want to thank you and the West family for actually giving it some thought, giving it some consideration. I think in the world we live in, especially in this COVID environment, as pastors, we're just scrambling, right? We're just trying to make the best for our congregations. We're trying to figure out how we get to Sunday, make it successful, how we continue to impart love into God's people and serve the congregations that we're called to. And so with that, quite frankly, I understand that you're looking for the best venue, the thing that suits your congregation, the thing that gives you the most options. But just the fact that you guys were willing to actually take a second look, it meant the world to me. Personally, I don't have any reservations with the place, but Elmer Towns wrote an awesome book called What Every Sunday School Teacher Should Know, and I use it almost as much as I use other study guides and things. But in that, he says the environment that you create, for whether it's a classroom, whether it's a sermon, whether it's a series, whatever that educational or that worship environment is, it speaks to people well beyond just your presence. So what's on the walls, what's the name of the venue, everything creates a certain image and creates a certain learning experience. And so I just really appreciate you all taking the time to recognize that the Bible calls us to bear with one another's burdens. And in that, although you may not personally have been impacted by things, it's important that we as God's people really look at how certain things may impact others. And I can tell you that growing up Black and living Black and pastoring Black and being married Black and being a corporate professional Black, that there are a lot of things that we endure, have to go through, that are social and societal norms that have a long impact.
Would you speak to us about, like, what the word plantation, not plantation, that's not a word, what the word plantation would evoke in a Black person's memory?
Yeah, I think absolutely the first thing it would conjure up are issues of slavery or visions of slavery. And not just slavery in terms of forced labor, but slavery in terms of abuse, of rape, of families being torn apart, of husbands and wives being ripped apart, mothers and children being ripped apart, of people being brutalized, taken advantage of, treated as chattel, and sold and used at someone's whim. And so we all know the history of this country. I'm sure we've all seen a movie or two depicting some of those scenes, and it screams in the face of anyone who has that as a historical background.
You know, David Hockett is our boss, right? He's our district superintendent. And I was so embarrassed after, like, all this happened. I'm like, one of our, you know, pillars as a church is to work, you know, across racial divide and not care about color. And I was, like, so embarrassed that I didn't even think about that. And so I wrote David and said, I just want you to know that I really screwed up on the front end, you know, instead of the back end. And David wrote back and said pretty much the same thing about, you know, we are called to bear one another's burdens, and sometimes memories cause a lot of pain. And so David and I ended up talking on the phone about it, and he said, you know, I think the local church, like, we need to be mindful of what we make the news for, you know, and could you see it now? You know, white church chooses to worship at a plantation. And I mean, wow. just the word, you know, and I have seen the movies and 12 Years a Slave. I mean, we ought to all, white people, ought to watch those movies because, I mean, we clearly can't go back in time and see, but the oppression was real. It still is real today. And I'm so grateful for you and your willingness to work with us and just forgive our missteps and be in partners in ministry. I look forward to great things.
Absolutely. And I don't think there's anything to forgive, right? I think all of us are going to say and do things. And it's important that we have the heart and mind of Christ, where we're assuming that folks have the right intentions, that we're taking the time out to communicate our feelings and how things impact us, and know that we are here for the glory of God, not for ourselves. And so when we choose to make decisions that impact others, and likewise when we choose to make decisions that bless others, it's just a great opportunity for us to come together, do what we're doing right now, talking about it, and moving forward in love. So thank you for having me.
It's what I love about you. I love your heart and your willingness to work with me and us. So thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
One of the things that I know has been a point of discussion and maybe some disagreement is when we would gather together in person. Why didn't we do parking lot worship and all those things? Please know that as we've made those decisions, there are so many factors that go into making those decisions. And one is our online worship. Like if we had parking lot worship and also filmed, that was going to increase the staff's workload again exponentially. And I just didn't feel like, as the pastor and the PAC team agreed, we didn't feel like we could do that. We didn't feel like we could offer parking lot worship and online worship without either hiring new staff, increasing their hours and their pay, and no one had the bandwidth to do that. So we decided to err on loving our neighbor, loving our staff, and loving you. It is a pandemic, and we wanted to keep you safe. And what we observed the couple of times that we had parking lot worship is that we were so excited to see each other, social distancing just wasn't a thing. And so we made some hard calls. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. I still don't know if we've done the right thing. I actually have nightmares on Saturday evenings about what Sunday church is going to look like. And I do want you to know we miss you. Like we look at your names on a piece of paper, we pray for you. And I wish there were enough hours in the day that like we could all have one-on-one conversations and meet together. But please know we are working on a safe alternative to gathering together. And as we do this, we're also recognizing that for many of you, online worship is a great thing, and you are happy, and that's all you want. You want online community, you want online missional, or maybe in-person mission opportunities, but you want your messages and your spiritual formation to come in an online community. So one of the things that we are going to do very intentionally in 2021 is have two different campuses, an online campus and an in-person campus, and those experiences will be developed and catered to you, whichever campus you choose. We have found that we have people now worshiping with us even more so all over the world. And we believe that by the power of digital communication and technology, we can create the body of Christ. We go back to that verse from Revelation. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new. Write this down. For these words are trustworthy and true. God has called us and has carried us from the beginning of West until now. And I am convinced that God will carry us in and through the days ahead." I'm so grateful to be your pastor. I'm so grateful for all that you do to make this church what it is. And I look forward to being in the future with you. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, I give you thanks for all the people that call West their home, whether they're here, whether they're in Uganda, whether they're in California, wherever they are, we give you thanks. And we know that you are a powerful God. You carry us through the storms. You don't create them, but you do carry us in and through them. And that all we have to do is rely on you and lean into you. And you do make all things new. We give you thanks and praise for being that amazing God. Forgive us of the times that we fall short of being the light that you call us to be. And now use us for the work of your kingdom. May we be that light in that kingdom of heaven here on earth and from now throughout eternity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so sorry, today was a little long-winded, but there's just so many amazing things that have happened over the past year. And despite it being just the most almost insurmountable obstacles sometimes, we've found a way to be the church. And I wanted you to know what those ways are and see how we're going to continue to move forward in the new year. Thank you for calling West your home. And again, it is my privilege and honor to be your pastor. Go in peace.